Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is it. On the 30-meter line, they're going to take it. They're going to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot for Manessa.
He's got it.
Oh, what a kick.
He got it.
Hello, and thanks very much for tuning into the return of the Irish NRL show. Delighted for another season to have the Tash back with me. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, pal. Delighted to be back myself.
Yeah, I think we'll start with an apology. So obviously we're coming back to you in week five, and for the ardent fan, look, let's call it what it is. We're two amateur podcasters. Life got busy, and I suppose I'll speak on my own behalf. I have a penchant for being a bit of a princess, so that's probably a huge, huge part as to why we're back.
Later. And I'm a single parent of a puppy, so...
Needs must. Look, we're back. We have kind of a slightly new format to the show for season two, and hopefully there'll be no more disruptions between now and grand final day in September. But it was quickly, just before we kick into the main segments, what have you enjoyed so far over the first 4 weeks? Difficult to recap in a few minutes, but
I think the Broncos, how they came on from last year. I know they died in death at the last six games of the league last year, but they might have took it to heart, and the way they came out this year, they're a different team under Walter. Like, the way he's using Kane Haas as well is a bit special. We're going to touch on it later on, but I think the real positive signs. Now the only thing about it is he's losing Herbie Farnworth and Flegler next year to the Dolphins, which if we get a good crack at them now again at the end of the season, like, it'll be a different story, I think, with the Dolphins. I think it's going to be a great rivalry for the NRL.
Yeah, that's probably what I was going to touch on, the Dolphins. I mean, 4 weeks into a comp and they already look like they have an age-old rivalry there. It was a cracking game. The atmosphere was electric. I suppose the other thing is, like, it's the Dolphins. We'll get to them as the show progresses, I suppose, but it's probably how tight it's been. I know there's all sorts of stats about how it's been the tightest start to the season ever. Since tight starts to seasons began. But yeah, no, it's been real competitive this year. There's just a side in Canberra that refuses to be competitive. But look, we'll...
we won't mention the war.
Not this week. We're going to start on a positive. We'll get to it later.
The fact that he's going to market as well. We won't talk about that.
How can you get banned and go to market in the same week? That's what I want to know.
The strategy. It's a bold strategy.
But yeah, look, I suppose we'll get to the main crux of the show. So look, effectively, it is going to be our main segment, Four Tackle, which effectively is the two of us going back and forth on what we both individually feel is four key talking points from the week. Then we're obviously going to do our preview of the round ahead, and maybe down further down the line, once the season's a bit more settled, we'll look at power rankings and stuff to be in the show. But without much further ado, I think we kick into the first four tackle of season two. So I'm going to start the clock. Don't want to be waffling here. But look, I suppose, park the result for 1 minute. The question I'm coming to you with, Tash, is given his early season form, is Fitzgibbon's decision to start Moylan over Trindle correct? Is a Nico Trindle partnership better for long term success, or is he better off playing Moylan and Nico together?
Well, I think Nico's, not Nico, Moylan's stat from last year, he was the most try assists of the whole competition. So, as you say, it's only four games into it. I think he, after his season last year, he has the right to be stamped on as the number six for that team. But if they keep on going the way they're going and it's not as clicking as much, I think Fitzgibbon won't be afraid to rein them in and maybe even switch them early.
Yeah, I suppose for me, I think Moylan, as experienced as he is, he's still a defensive liability. I think the benefit for me to having Trindle in there is he's much more of a natural seven, and I know that's the role Nico arguably wants to get to, but I think at this stage in his development, I don't think it's a bad move to have maybe a more kick first half in there with him, as opposed to with Moylan and Nico. It's definitely a more run first half combination,
and especially coming from full back, it suits Nico a bit better to have that option of running first, like squaring up and running and see what's in front of him before he has to decide, do I kick this ball or what tackle is it or stuff like that. And as you say, you nearly need that. Like if you look at Townsend up in the Cowboys, like he settles Dearden down and Dearden just has to worry about running the ball.
Yeah.
And I think if they got a seasoned seven in there, like to just do that for Nico, you'd see Nico's like Daly M last year, he could go back to back this year if he had something like that inside him.
Yeah, I mean that's a huge talking point, is can he repeat that success as well, obviously.
Now he didn't look too bad at the weekend.
No, it didn't. Now look,
coming back,
that's another talking point down the line in the Dragons itself, but Battle of the Beaches. But I suppose for me, I thought first 3 weeks of the season, I thought Trindle looked good. I think he's arguably the best replacement half in the competition if you're starting Moylan. And I just think their combination with Trindle involved, it would allow Nico to play your traditional seven role in patches. He wouldn't have to play for the full 80 minutes, but he could, 20 minutes, he could play like a seven. 20 minutes, he could play like a six. And it would just kind of maybe free him up and maybe allow him to develop a little bit more. It's hard to be critical of a Fitzgibbon decision. I think he's pretty much nailed the role since he took over in Cronulla.
Well, I think he's going to bleed that stone as well with Moylan until he falls apart. Like, I think whatever he's getting out of him is the best he's going to get out of him with the injury history he has. So I think they're going to bleed that stone as much as they can, and then Trindle's in the background just waiting the first chance.
Look, they're valid points. Maybe a bit of a early season kind of overreaction on my behalf, to be fair. I think that's all we pretty much have on that. We're just coming to the end of time there, so.
Very smooth, very smooth. I like it. First point, I'm just going to go over for about 7 minutes on this rant now. So next point, the Tigers. So we had tales of Tiger Town last year. Now we have problems with Tiger Town this year.
Yeah.
Who's to fault for how bad they're going? Like, is it Luke? Is it Tim? Where do we stand on this?
It's probably difficult to pinpoint the problem. I think arguably the problem is Pascoe. For anyone that watched Tales of Tiger Town, they'd probably be in agreement. It's Pascoe. Arguably, is Tim Sheens without fault? I don't think so.
Well, who runs the show? Like, you have head coach. Is it Tim? Is it fucking Benji? Is it Farah? Like, who gives the saying that? Like, I know that it supposedly was a great setup with Tim coming in and having two young fellas underneath him, but it doesn't seem to be working. Like,
it's the Tigers always kind of strike me as an organization that can't get over 2005.
It goes back to that.
It has to be Robbie. It has to be Benji. It has to be someone of that ilk involved, and obviously Tim as well.
But they also did sack Tim a few years after.
Yes.
He came to his end.
And look, Tim came in, and it was a whole thing of Madge was there, and it was Tim's not coming in to be the head coach. He's coming in to be the coach advisor, and everyone was like, "No, Tim Sheen's going to be head coach." And sure enough, given enough time, Tim Sheen's been made head coach.
The claws came in. Now, I don't know what way it worked, but and like, I know Luke is on the big money, and he's the big time player. Like, but thinking back up to summer, like that has Hastings and Clemmer. If it was Brooks and Clemmer, what way would Brooks be going at the Knights now? Like, the possibilities. I know he's saying that he's going to stick with Brooks. Like, but for Brooks himself, I think you nearly have to get out of that position.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, Luke Brooks is an interesting one. I always kind of felt right. So you might scoff when I say this, when I include the full list, but there was a power four at the West at a period of time, and it was Luke Brooks, it was Mitch Moses, who they'd love to have back. There was rumours over the off season, it was never happening. Jamie Tedesco, a full back, and an Aaron Woods. Now look, I think Aaron Woods had a good career, but just he's a prop, so he paid for the mileage. And I always thought of that big four, for Luke Brooks to be the only one they managed to hold on to. They held on to the weeks of the four. I thought it at the time, and I think it's kind of evident now at this stage. They probably need to move off him.
Definitely. For the two parties involved, I think part ways, and I don't know where he goes after that. But like, if he did go to the Knights, I think he'd have a better... He would have started the season a lot better than he is.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, he's... Sometimes, like, the game last week where Pac-Man came on and... sort of relieved him, and you see him what he's good at, but and when he's on, he's a good player, but when he's off, he is so off. There was times that he was crabbing across the field looking for someone to come in. I don't know if it was the game plan or something, but like, he had to dribble like a harbour ball over the centre to hit the winger, his last option. Nobody was coming in underneath him, nobody was straight in the line for him, like, and he's looking. And I feel it with Carousel as well, that sometimes Carousel goes to, like, what he was doing in the Panthers, he'd step off his left and come back to his right, and there's absolutely nobody running up that right hand side. Like,
and that's ultimately this is probably where it falls on Sheen. They've invested an awful lot of money in talent. Sometimes you watch the West Tigers, there's patches they look brilliant, there's patches they look like they haven't played with each other ever.
Ever.
And I know it's only 4 weeks, it's a new cohesive unit, but that, like, they look like they don't play each other. That's like Alex Twall and Luke Brooks don't look like they've ever played together. Like, it's not
no
the new players.
And they're there, like, Twal is there 3 years nearly. Yeah. And like, there's a reason why he hasn't scored a fucking try.
Yeah. I think his effort is good though. But the final piece for me on that, and it probably is Pascoe, the whole PR scandal and mess about Johnny Bateman.
Yeah.
It probably is Pascoe.
They don't do things well.
At all.
And then he's on his own podcast airing all his grievances out, and you're there going, lad, you should put your head in.
Yeah.
Tuck it in somewhere.
Tuck it in.
Sand.
It is, yeah. It's just everything that can go wrong goes wrong. But look, we've hit the timer there. No doubt they'll be discussed in nauseam this season.
Definitely.
But look, moving on. Another decision that's potentially might have caught your eye over the weekend. Kind of a bit of a stunning decision for me. So the Eels have kind of not announced, but it was kind of leaked that at 28, Clint Gutterson may be done at the Eagles. Effectively, how it kind of came about is, I think Gutterson, as a senior player, went to the Eagles and said, look, have we any potential talent coming through? Can I maybe move position to try and help bring someone through to get us over the hump? Because they've been thereabouts for the past few years.
A very selfless act. on the players we have.
Yes.
You wouldn't get this around, especially when he's a fullback, at fullback money.
Yeah, and especially when he's not a people. He's not a para junior either.
Yeah.
But look, great move by the bloke. Could bite him in the backside. And they've effectively turned him around and kind of, for want of a better phrasing, and I am paraphrasing here, that they would be testing the open market for a star player that's spine based, which could potentially mean that the fullback position he no longer sits in. Whether that means he moves off the roster, or whether it means he moves to maybe centre where he started his career. But
I think they have a very poor right hand centre there and winger partnership that he could just slide in if they did find that X factor player, because I don't think Wonga Break and Simonson, is it?
Yeah.
They're not doing them any favours this year.
Now, the one thing I would say is you moved off Reid Mahoney for Josh Hodgson, which is like for like. You have a lot of money tied up in them halves. You can't afford an expensive centre.
No.
So, yeah, look, I suppose the reason I bring the point to you is, look, we know who the best fullbacks in the competition are, but Gutterson is just below that.
He's at least, like, if he's not top five, he's top six, top seven. Like, he's definitely up there with the best of them. Like,
they're saying that,
and he's not far off it. Like,
two of them are at the Roosters. Arguably three, if he doesn't, until he goes off to Union. But two of them are definitely at the Roosters, in Joey and Jimmy
and Teddy.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I think it's
the name that was being thrown around was, I was chatting to you earlier on in the week, like, about him, was a friend up in the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the name that was being thrown around, so.
Which, look, that's probably a point that should be on this week. That bloke needs more game time.
Ah, he's ridiculous, like. I said it to you when the game was on, I was like, whatever he does, and when he comes onto the game, he gives it all. And he's not a small, like, he looks thin, but he's a big, big, rangy. And when he gets going, his feet, you can't stop him.
He plays bigger than he is. He plays heavier than he is.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
But look, I suppose we're losing that point here. look, I suppose, are we in agreement that it's not a wise move to move off Gutho? For me, anyway, if I was head honcho at the Parrot Eels, the spine player I'd actually be looking to move would be Dylan Brown. He's there long enough, he's not showing enough consistency. On his day, unplayable, but on his day is four or five times a season, and rarely when it really matters.
What I think is, what they need is a 13, an impact 13 or something like that.
I think.
And work through the middle.
Plenty of
props. I know you have two props that are brilliant, like, but they just figure out a 13 that can do what the rest of the 13s are doing in the competition and be that extra ball player.
I think you've plenty of potential in that young rookie. What's his name? Hopgate, is it?
Yeah, he's coming on lovely.
Yeah, so I think you've plenty of potential there. You might not actually have to move off. And now, probably the point, we're probably definitely going to bust over time. Everyone else has done it this week. But look, let's dig into it.
So Ali was the hectic cheese writing his comments. There's 1.6 million could be used better in grassroots rugby in Australia than going for a winger on the Roosters panel. Eddie Jones has a history of this, where he goes and he picks the big, big players in different grades. And he even said himself when he was, there's an interview with Gus Gould, that the pathways, I can't pick young fellas come through pathways because it's that bad. So he would go out and poach the players, and I don't know where they get the money from, because they were nearly bankrupt there 4 years ago. But to come out with a 1.6 for over a year, for a winger, it's ridiculous money. But as I said, name me a player in the Wallabies camp now. Starting 50.
Well, like, the first point is, which you brought up, which I probably wouldn't have brought up unless you brought it up, which was, Eddie Jones has a history, shall we say. The difference is, when Eddie Jones was doing this the last time, rugby union is a very healthy place in Australia. Very.
They're just coming from professional, like, and having, like, they were super rugby champions.
Yeah.
with the Brumbies and all that. Like, and they're a different place now.
And look, arguably, and he Wendell Saylor and he Lai Dakiri and that Matt Rogers as well, all in that World Cup squad that lost to England in 2003. But while I get that money is purely coming from the fact that Australia is hosting the next World Cup, and that's because.
And there's Lions Tour before it as well. So there will be money in the country. Like,
that money is coming from Tourism Australia. It is not coming from the back benches in Wallabies Court. Was Hectic Cheese right? he wasn't wrong. Look, you gotta love him as a bloke. He's great, and it's one of the beautiful things with the NRL is you just don't get that character of a person in another sport. They're all far too media trained. He's a PR man's nightmare because you just
I'd say the head was in your man's hands when he was looking at going we'll kick you off this week. Look,
it's an easier problem to fix than the PR person of Kelly Harrington, but don't want to get sidetracked by other sports right now. But look, arguably Rugby Australia probably needs that name. They probably need that, like, name me, and we're blokes who play book codes, heavily interested in book codes. You can name a hand.
I can't name you the 10 in the name.
Yeah. But.
Which would be your best players in the team if you think of. Well, if you come across teams like.
Yeah.
In the Union.
They're not. It's like. Probably an easy win for the Wallabies as he's kind of played. Most of his schooling was Rugby Union.
Was rugby, yeah. He came from a background of Union, like, so it's not too bad. It's not a hard
transition.
But, and then another point to this is the media coming out and absolutely bagging him this week. Like, you think, like, when a club sees you're coming to the end, they can shop you around. But God forbid a player goes off and tests the market and you watch the media turn on them. About anything else. And there is, like, at the end of the day, this is a business. It's not a sport anymore. Like, with the amount of money being put around, it's a business.
Yeah, I think,
and I,
that sentiment comes from journalists as who are fans first. Because it always feels as if the player's turning his back, not on the club but on you,
on
as
the
fan.
Code, yeah, on the actual, yeah, your sport you love.
Whereas you still support your club regardless of the player they sell. So when the club's at fault, I think it's, but yeah, look, this has been brought up several times, and actually a very good one, and I know it's the dirty code for the diehards, but there's a brilliant interview with Ellis Genge with James Haskell on that Rugby Pod, and he's talks about something similar about leaving Leicester to go back to Bristol and stuff like that. And yeah, look, it's something we often forget is that clubs can drop you at the drop of a hat, but God forbid
You go try and find your wealth somewhere else.
You as a kid from of second generation Polynesian parents who probably maybe didn't have the best start in life is looking to secure your family's future. You're the bad guy.
I think they don't, and especially the way he is, like, nothing has ever come out of anything off the field.
Well, he's 18, to be fair. Like,
yeah, well, that's it. You don't have the chance to do it.
If there's, now,
go out and enjoy yourself.
Go out and enjoy yourself to the Wallabies.
Yeah.
Sully your name. We'll get you back on the cheap. And then. Nick's in his ear. Big Nicky P is in his ear. But look, I think we definitely went over on that point. I muted the timer, I had it coming. So, look, something that's definitely been on my mind. And look, it's another one of Tidy Topical. Trouble in Cogra. Just looking to garner your thoughts on the bizarre decision by the Dragons to effectively write off their season
and 4 games into it
and bitch out of sacking someone by saying he's going to have to reapply next year.
Like everybody else that wants the poison chalice.
And he can put his job application in the bin. Any bin, it'll come to us.
Yeah, I mean the mailbox. Yeah. That says bin. Yeah, no, I think it's a crazy. Now, if they had any balls, they probably should have done it at the end of last year.
Or in the off-season.
And gone. Yeah, off-season, get rid of him if that's the way it is. Because some of the young players that he held back last year and he wanted to get results as well, he went with like seasoned players, like instead of having like there was a serious amount of young fellas through the back end of last year that he should have played, and he never gave them a chance. And now he's into his second year, and he's probably not going to give them a chance again because he has to get this CV with a few wins in it to get this job back. But I just think it's absolutely crazy. Four games in to pull this.
Yeah, no, it is, and
like we talk about the Tigers, I think the Dragons are up there with them with how bad the back room.
Far becoming, aren't they? They just really are. Mm. And like even you look at, and it's probably not been the success for Cronulla that I thought it would be. But how's his name escape me? The hook, Cameron McGuinness.
Like, oh yeah, McGuinness.
Just
yeah.
Let him go, and he's just sitting on the bench for your arch rivals, or your so-called arch rivals. They're just a mess. They're a mess that thinks they're not a mess, which is a bigger problem. But yeah, I like that. Not only potentially messes up the development, as you've touched on, you're not signing any stars over this. No star is going to sign to a club where the future is not known. Players aren't going to listen to him all year. Like, it's just we started and we're finished. Like, that's what it is.
And especially when, like, in the Nathan, you know, the Heine and Yoke, the boys were bagging them last year. And they came on this year, and it was very, very quiet. We can't say no.
Yes.
So, like, if your own players are starting to bag you early, and then you can't say a boo to them now this year, like, it just shows you, like, there's a bit of discomfort maybe in the camp that they know his days are numbered, maybe.
Yeah. Like, why are they? I would say the best case scenario is if he's a likable bloke, and by all reports, he's probably not. If I was a player, I'd maybe feel a bit of sympathy for him, and that might galvanise the squad. But I mean, you're clutching at straws. You're clutching at straws to find a way for this club to make finals. And I feel really sorry. He'll play Origin this year. He'll have his flashes of brilliance. He'll absolutely dominate. But I actually really feel sorry for Ben Hunt, out of everyone.
Yeah. Like, where is the next crop of players going to come that's going to make him, like, even have a chance of winning anything? Like, I just don't know what that direction the club is taking. Like, as they changed Lomax to the other centre, didn't they, this year, like, at the beginning, which was a strange. I don't know if it was because he's a bit more defensive or organised, but there's some strange
and
decisions going on with the playing staff.
And
so
arguably, they're a good coach and a bit of back office discipline away from being the top 8 side.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be very attractive. Very attractive for free.
What was the edge player to go off the, was it the Rabbitohs last year? Yeah, Sue, like, you thought, like, a bit more coaching and a bit more drive off him. He's an Origin, like, standard player. Yeah. Like, he's a beast when he gets going.
Yeah, he is. I'm a huge fan of his. Yeah, that's just time on that one there. Yeah, but a mess. So many of the NRL clubs are a mess.
Yeah, but when you start talking about them, that's only when you start realising how bad everyone else is. Like, the Tigers are there going, jeez, we're not too bad. We just have a head above the CEO. Yeah. So the next one is the Dolphins. Great start to the year. Three from four, like, which is ridiculous. No one sort of said that, or even, I thought maybe one or two, but definitely seeing three, and the way they played, like, even the last game against the Broncos, they were in it until the last 10 minutes nearly, the whole way through. Like, they fought the whole way through, and Tessie knew on one leg, like, out there trying his best, like, got stopped three times going over the line. But I think is the injuries and suspensions going to catch up with these? Is their strength and depth not there? Like,
it's probably not there, right? And ultimately they might suffer, because look, Sean O'Sullivan's a huge loss to them.
Yeah, he's 3 to 4 months gone. Like,
he's gone. He's huge.
That's massive.
It's unlucky, but like, they're arguably only really, really, really unfortunate because of the hot start they had.
Yes.
Had they struggled out of the gate, no one would bat an eyelid. I just think, I think Wayne, super coach, he built the side exactly how he wanted it to be. He was getting them bass. They weren't getting the star players, but he brought in kind of some experienced leaders in the pack, and he brought in Felice Kafusi, and he brought in the Bromwich twins. Brothers. Twins, brothers. I always get
Butters.
And then he brought in some young forwards with a bit of metal in them. He brought in Gilbert and he brought in Ray Stone from Para. And I think what he's, the aim of that is, he's going to embed the Storm-esque culture from those kind of Storm players. And then he has the young forwards who have that dog in them and are good professionals to build the culture within the Dolphins. So I think they're going to be fine. And when Wayne leaves, they're going to be well built up. But we were all expecting to maybe nab a win against the Tigers, nab a win against the Knights, and maybe put up 3 or 4 wins, favourites for the spoon, yada yada yada. Little did we know we're all wrong. So
wrong.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, like the what game was? It was the second game they played, and it was nearly one. Just to look at them play and the way they attacked. Yeah, I don't know if it was the second game.
We were the second game. I fully remember it now.
yeah, sleepless nights. But yeah, as you said, like Tessie New is gone for 4 weeks. Katoa got cleared to play this week, his ribs or something. So Milford and him are going to do the halves. Jack Bostock is replacing Tessie New in the wing. Never heard of him.
Don't need to hear.
Where they have what's his name? The Eric or Lee, is it the winger for Knights? Yeah, supposedly he played 76 minutes there in the Q Cup or whatever, it's Queensland Cup, but only made 8 runs for 56 metres, so I think they're going for someone younger, so we'll see how he goes. And then Kafusi still has another 2-3 games left in his band.
Yeah,
like he's only started his 4 week band, which as we say, the whole controversy is nuts.
Look, arguably that's another row in itself.
Yeah, talking point.
It's been mad this season. Why would you even contest? It's the decision's already been made. But look,
if you get a three game ban, you know.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Not going to go back from a final, especially when you have that extra game in the background in case.
To kind of bring this point to kind of close, yeah, look, the Dolphins have been exceptional. They've been one of the talking points of the season, early doors. They may struggle without Sean O'Sullivan. They could continue to survive, to surprise.
The only loss is to the team that's currently top of the competition. So,
You can't. Which, yeah, it tells them that they're there and thereabouts. And as you say, they're embedding Melbourne culture, and it's being clear-legged because when Milford was dropped for the first game, Bromwich came out and read them at a conference and wasn't afraid to read them. So it just shows you that the players are being accountable by their own peers. Like, so that's a full win better thing as well. Like,
yeah, I suppose my last point for the evening anyway, Lachlan Ilias. So look, obviously a good start to the season, fantastic against the Sharks. I thought he was quite good against the Roosters, ultimately they lost that game. And then, look, the clutch goal, field goal last weekend in an enormous tie, given Sadler's pass and stuff like that. Is he on course? And it's very early doors to have the best year two we've ever seen. Because him opening up is so important, because there was so much last year had to go through Cody Walker, which is not his game.
Mm. Yeah. There was, in that game there at the weekend, there was like Cameron Murray, the way Cody Walker's work went now, he's changing sides and he's going on the side, like, and there was like an out the back play start with Cameron Murray onto Ilias, and then Matongi was his lead, like, and then it was the try. But just how smooth and how everybody's in sync with the whole team, like, and he only touched the ball he was the third person to touch the ball in the play, like, so it shows you that Ilias is, he's going to be the seventh for the next while, because he's letting Cody Walker at the back and run whatever he wants to run.
Mm.
Like, arguably, Mitchell wasn't even in the play.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, like, you had three key players, Cam, Walker and Mitchell. Now you have four with Ilias in there as well. And the boys are all on the same page. Like,
yeah, look,
which is scary, scary.
My thing, and you've definitely seen it in the try he put on from against the Roosters. That combination of Ilias with Keon Kolomatungi outside him is brilliant. I love watching Keon Kolomatungi. I mentioned it last year, I was like, I think this fella could be the best second row in the competition. I think he's there or thereabouts. He's brilliant. And it makes it easier for Lachlan and Ilias to play, but yet Lachlan and Ilias' development is also making Keon
you could really make that for all it's worth, like, and just tip it onto him, ship it onto him, make you look really good with every fucking assist you get off him, but he's still able to square it up, pull out the back or shape out off Matongi. Like, that partnership is coming on Sears.
I love watching the two of them as a combo. And look, I know it's very early doors, but let's start this, kick the season off with a wild take. And let me say that I expect the Rebels to be back in the Grand Finals this year. Whether they win it, I don't know.
Of all the teams that are playing this year, and as you say, it's a tight start to the year, I think Rebels are the only one that looks like a Premiership winning side.
Yeah.
Of all, like, you look at the Panthers, they're getting absolutely fleeced with players. Like, I think that's going to be a short-lived reign. But I think Rabbitohs are going from strength to strength every year, like, and I think if they don't get to the mountain this year or next year, like, that team is still young. I know Walker's whatever he is, but he'll be around for next year as well. He'll go around again. There's no fear of him walking away.
Plays younger than he is, I think, is expected.
Yeah, that's it. Same with me.
he's a backyard footballer. He always has been. And look, you look at the first try, absolute magic stuff. But yeah.
But like, he wasn't doing that last year. He wasn't running as much as he was last year because he had to try and sort of sort out Ilias. Now he's able to run, and you can see the benefit of it now.
Want to go full circle?
No, right?
Ilias' development is similar to playing Trindle with Nico.
I didn't see this coming.
Wow,
Inception.
We like to go full circle here. And you know what? There's time.
Hey, blow my mind and then walk away. Very good. And then the last one is the Broncos. As I said, hot start, 4-4. But it's in the back of your mind last year, losing 6 on the bounce, being the top four and then arguably being dropped over for the Dragons to come in and take your place. Like,
yeah,
it's still fresh in everyone's mind. Can they go? Can they keep it up? Can they ease up a little bit and just stick where they are, like top four, don't worry about it. Now, arguably, we don't know what way they're targeting the league. Do they want to win the Premiership and then maybe get knocked out in semi-finals? Is that the success they want? Like, is it the minor Premiership they want, or is it the main thing they want? Like, so we don't know that, but they are absolutely flying. Like, and the young fellas have so much confidence. Every time they score a try, like, and the celebrations are there, and you know everyone's up for the game. Like, and then you have the like of Payne Haas just doing what he's doing. He's arguably the best prop in the whole fucking game. And after taking off from Tam Malone and the Cowboys,
he's arguably the best player so far this season. The problem,
just his impact on games.
The problem,
like,
for me is there's kind of a bit of a cycle with Payne Haas. 5 6 weeks phenomenal in the papers, looking for a massive contract, a minor off field incident, a drop in form, repeat, and
dummies do be thrown out brands.
Yeah, they do.
Dummies do get thrown out cards.
They do. This is all fine and good, and the next minute he's swinging for a teammate, or video services from 6 months ago.
Don't stand on my shoes, you bollocks.
Yeah. Ultimately, the hardest thing about being the Broncos is it's a bit like being a Man United player.
Yeah. You're up there where you're not there anymore by yourself, but arguably if they stay where they are in first, all the cameras come out and I'm like, they're under so microscope the whole time, like, so
it's not even just the cameras, it's the old boys brigade. It's like Gordon Tallis.
Oh yeah,
on the tourism.
Well, they're gonna flood back now. Yeah. If they come back, if they get to the middle of the season and they're second or third, you'll see all them shower that left them last year.
Yeah, well, they arguably didn't all leave last year because Kevy was under pressure, so
yeah,
a bit of loyalty there and stuff like that. But the other thing,
yeah, but they threw the players under the bus last year. Like, they all came out and bagged every player and didn't bag Walter. But it's very hard to right them wrongs after
four games. The other thing I would like to say is someone who has been exceptional is Reece Walsh, and I'm not saying he can't, I'm just saying we just don't know yet if in the right circumstances he can be exceptional year round, because he was in the Warriors, let's face it, who, look, they're a wildly different team this year, but can he continue to play as exceptionally as he's been playing year round? Or, like, we just don't know. He could be this player that's exceptional year round, and the Broncos could have done an absolute magical transfer, or he could be similar to Payne Haas and he could have those flashes because he has had an off-field incident. Now look, all the reports you read is he got into a stupid incident, but off the field he's a workaholic, he's watching film, he's constantly in coaches' ears positively. So
yeah, well, I think, like, if you look back at last year, like, he was that player for the Warriors, except he wasn't getting the same ball or the same, like, he was always a gun fullback last year. Like, when he got the chance, he was electric. It just this year he seems another step, another gear or something. When he gets the ball, like, he's involved with everything.
Probably
now you'd love to, there's sometimes that he gets too involved and he should let Reynolds control it a bit more. Like, there was times where he's kicking down blindside and stuff like that. You look at him, oh, just leave it to your man, it's the best kicker in the league, please.
In the county.
In the county.
What I'd also say, which is probably an underrated piece too, is I think Ezra Imam has been fantastic. I didn't expect this from him with the glimpses we've seen from last year. I thought I'd be in and out, he'd be a bit like Tyson Gamble,
yeah,
but no.
Arguably, that was a good decision to let Campbell go.
For both ends. He played well against us. We were brilliant the weekend. But look, less said about that, the better. Like, it was time ago. That's the first four tackle for the new season. We're going to quickly run through the round five matchups, starting with the Tash. But just to mention, new this season, a bye every weekend. And
Titans are on bye this week.
What a place to be on a bye. The Gold Coast. Happy days, happy days. So the first game is on Thursday. The Roosters take on the Parramatta Eels in Allianz Stadium.
Trelliant.
It's at 10 o'clock. I think with all this controversy with Gutterson, I know he came out yesterday and was trying to put it to pass, like, but I think they're looking for a solution where they're not really in a bigger problem. Like, so now the Roosters did have a lapse in the first two games. Like, I didn't think they started as well as they should have, but it's the Roosters' way. They don't care as long as they're in the top eight. They'll tip away and let the media talk and they'll do their own thing. I just think the Roosters at home will win against the Eels. Who is playing nine? Hodgson's back in. I was very impressed with Brendan Hand last week when he came on, and he was arguably one of the best players on the field, like how he controlled the ruck and let the forwards do their thing, like, and then supplied the two backs. It'll be interesting to see how they work that for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah.
Will there be another shout with the money they have to spend on Hodgson? I don't know why he's on, but I can't see him being under half a million.
Yeah,
he could be getting big coin, like. So it'd be interesting to see if Han can keep that up and really push Hodgson. But yeah, Roosters at home, baby.
Yeah. Look, I know maybe the odds might shift a bit because Para knocked Penrith off last weekend, but Para love doing Penrith in the regular season. So yeah, look, I tend to agree. Next up, this will be quick. Raiders 16th against Panthers 7th. Early kickoff Friday 8 a.m. Irish time, GIO's Stadium, as per usual. Look, Keane's Jamal Fogarty's back after the injury, making his first appearance on. He's not on the bench, actually. There was talk he would be on the bench. So Jared Croker is in the reserves. He's not going to make the bench. But Jordan Rapan is back, which I'm happy to see. But the key out, obviously, is Jack Whiten. Yeah.
Get used to it, is it? Not seen his name on the team.
Look, Matt Frawley, Jamal Fogarty. Josh Papali'i was obviously made his return last week, was kind of poor. It's a Panther side that's arguably looked a little bit less than the sum of its parts this season. But you have to look at the sum of those parts, and you have to say that while there's been widespread changes, the key piece of there, they still have arguably the best prop pairing. I know a lot of people make arguments for ours, but I would say the Panthers is just a more consistent prop pairing. Scott Saracen's a great professional. Isaiah Yeo, and then you have obviously the Iceman Cleary. Arguably get the best performance I've ever seen of 7 in a losing performance against Para.
And that drop kick, oh yeah. My god. If you haven't seen the image of the lads in the Matty John show, go take a look at it. The reactions just tell you, like, if them lads reacted to it, you mean it's a big deal. Like,
look, obviously I'm gonna predict the Panthers win here, and I'm gonna thank God this game is on Friday and I can hide behind my emails at work.
Forget about it.
Just move on. No need to
take it. Yeah. It's a busy Friday. So next game then is the Rabbitohs against the Storm at the Acor Stadium, Friday again at 10 o'clock. A few outs for the Storm. Jerome Hughes is out. I know Shaq Mitchell is out for the Rabbitohs. He played really well there last game. I thought, I don't know what the injury is, but I just thought he's coming into his own. I think it's a foot injury or something they're saying. But and Jerome Hughes is suspended, so Jonah Preston is it? He's coming in the 7 shirt, so that'd be interesting to see. I think on form you're going to pick the Rabbitohs. I think the Storm, for all the players they lost, they haven't replaced them with the same standard of player, I think, and it's coming clearer and clearer every time they play that if you lose one, as Cam Munster was out there last week, or the week before, like, there were a different team with him this, like, last week than there were the week before when he wasn't there, and then Jerome Hughes is out this week. If the two of them are off the field, you know you're in trouble. Like, I just think Rabideau's are in too good of a form, and the likes of Graham and Tass as well in the centres, they're coming into their own. Like, I think Campbell Graham is arguably one of the best centres in the comp, if not the best at the minute. The way he's playing, the way he controls, and the way in defence, he's so strong. Like, he monsters people in defence sometimes, which is scary enough. Like, but yeah, I think Rabideau's to win at home to the Storm.
Fair. Yeah, I tend to agree, but I do think it's tight. It's a tight one. I think it's a single score victory for the Rabideau's, because they're not particularly blowing the doors off anyone really, although they're playing.
I just think with that home advantage and losing Jerome Hughes as well, like, Jerome is, he can turn it on himself sometimes.
There's so much of the unseen work. First game Saturday is 5 a.m. Irish time. Second place, Manly Sea Eagles, who've been good this season. I've enjoyed watching them. Arguably unlucky against the Rabideau's, that forward pass controversy. Against the Knights, who are a mixed bag. Look, you've a lot to like for that Manly side. I think, on the whole, Josh Schuster, a 5A, I like. I just have nightmares if Olakuatu is dry against the Bunnies. The big men shouldn't jump that high. And
yeah, shit, he can jump.
Yeah, and look, they've a nice backline. It's not flashy, but it's solid. Like, in Garrick, Morgan Harper, Brad Parker, and Christian Tupelotu. I like that backline as just being a solid bunch of professionals, if that makes sense.
All workmen-like. They're just effort. That's all they do is effort.
And then you've got some good benches to come. You've got some good reserves to come in, and Sean Kepi, Ethan Bullmore, and Ben Burbo, as they like him. Look, the Knights have a bit of flair about them too. Like, I'm really enjoying watching Lachlan Miller at fullback, 11 games in. Think I got.
Did you think he was that good?
No, didn't think he'd be that good. But no,
there was a pass there for
he
the.
Made on the try for Gagas.
I thought his pass, like, his just catching pass was so sweet. Like,
did someone not remember to turn Gagai off Origin mode back to?
Yeah, but he got up from it and he didn't go, oh, shit.
Yeah, but look,
it's not even close to Origin.
There's a lot to like about the Knights. They're plucky enough. There's some weaknesses there, and obviously, look, we know the star man is out. But I'm going to back Manly. Obviously, I think it would be a shock for the Knights to beat them. Manly have looked very good this season, and they're at home. So yeah, look, back in Manly to continue the trend and pick that one off.
Yeah, as you said, they were very unlucky last week with that forward pass that was actually back. So I'm going Manly as well. Next one then is Dragons and Dolphins in Wynn Stadium. That's after your game. I can't get the time up for some reason. Give me 2 seconds. It is 8. Where the fuck am I now? It is at 7:30 on Sunday, is it?
Saturday.
Yeah, the first.
Your national holiday.
Yeah. This comes down, I think, to the bench. I think the two teams stack up fairly feckin' bang on bang. I know Ben Hunt and Jaden Sullivan will do their job, but I think Katoa is just as good as Sullivan in his position. Milford will have to step up big time in the 7 role. But the Dolphins interchange, like Jared Wallace, Mark Lickis, and Ray Stone, compared to Jacob Liddle, Zach Musgrave, and Toby Couchman, like Josh Kerr and Mason Teagan make up their orders. But I just think that strong bench for the Dolphins will arguably, hopefully, will come on and do the job, as you say. I think the Mark Nichols strip of Seven Cobble last week has gone down in legend.
Man, I watched that for 20 times.
It did its rounds on social media.
I actually tweeted it. I downloaded the video of it and I tweeted it.
I just thought it was exceptional, like the effort, and for him to be out that far on an edge trying to defend one of the quickest lads. I know he got a little bump and he had to ride the tackle behind the winger, but it just shows you the effort and the workmanship that that Thank Wayne.
You. Thank you. What? I got into a heated debate with a bloke at work who knows nothing about rugby league. But he said, oh, that's a high IQ play. And I was like, no, that's a high effort play.
Effort, yeah. It means nothing to get there. It's just effort. Like, he could have took that bump and just lay on the ground. But he just, that extra beckon just to put the hand out and slip it. But I just think that it'll come down to the bench. And I think the Dolphins just have a little bit more experience on the bench than the Dragons. I'm going Dolphins.
Cool. Yeah. They might have caught on the hop with a few extra injuries and stuff, and at least they've been out. But, do you know what? I'm going to back an upset here, and the Dragons will be two. I just think the lack of injuries for the Dragons might give them to the hand. Next up, 9:35 on Saturday. Thankfully, after the clocks go back in Australia, I think we'll have some more friendlier times. thank God. Broncos, obviously, first against bottom West Tigers in Suncorp. I don't know how to do it, but yeah, look, let's keep this nice and quick.
Do you want to know the odds?
Yeah, Broncos are... It's Australian backing, but I've... Broncos $1.27 and the Tigers $3.80. Which,
well, I have them $1.15 to $5.50. So,
yeah, look, there's no major ins or outs, really. I think. Oh, Joe Offengawi is back. Has he made the starting side? He hasn't even made the bench. He's in the reserves. He mustn't be that fit. Alex Twal drops to the bench. Johnny Bateman starts. David Clemmer. Yeah, look, Appy's starting as well, which is commendable. But yeah, look, Broncos all day. You kind of have to back the Broncos until they prove otherwise that they're not the side of last year. So yeah, back in the Bronx.
One thing I didn't say was that when Adam Dewey dropped the fullback, the excuse was that Dame Laurie was a fitness thing, but his stats say that he runs 200 metres a game and he's top four in the NRL, which is horseshit. Then it just means that you have a player that's on a bigger contract and you're trying to get him onto the team so he doesn't kick stones.
Yeah. And then the other excuse used was that you look at Latrell, who's a big fullback, and it makes sense to have a big fullback.
Yeah, cool story.
Yeah, because people that are playing crazy money for a Ponder.
I say the return of Jesse Arthur from the Warriors is after a treat for the Broncos. Like, he came back and he's doing a job there on the wing for them, something serious with the big fella out with a broken chin. The big fucking chin. The first game on Sunday is Cronulla against the Warriors at 7:05 in the morning.
It's kind of like the battle of everyone's second and third team.
Well, I think the Warriors came out. I think the Warriors frightened a lot of us. The way that they came out this year, like,
I've not seen them defend like that for the best part of a decade.
What's the your man, the coach? Sorry, shit. He's ex-fucking Panthers assistant coach, but he has them playing some serious stuff. And Shawnee Johnson is nearly rolling back the years.
Yeah,
I don't think. What's the name? Reed Mahone will be tanking Bundy FO anytime soon. Get out of the road. I think.
They've played defence, but they've played some awesome stuff. And they're starting to see some underage players come through as well, which is brilliant for them, because there were so many fears about the Warriors in COVID because all those players weren't coming over to play.
And there was no league for them. Yeah, they couldn't travel. I think Matoya as well is something else in the wing. Like, I think he has a casualty list for the year. The bumps.
Delighted for the Warriors to have started the season so well, given how last season ended, but all these players saying, oh, I don't actually want to play in New Zealand, so I'm not going.
Yeah, they're only going over the money. Like, it was like some of the players, rugby, it was the only team that they could get on until the end of the season, like, and then they all jumped ship. I think the return of Hines, though, is massive for the Sharks. So, like, you looked at him last year, you swear he played the first three games of the season the way he came out, like, first game of the day, and he just owned the game. So I think Cronulla at home is a big, big ask for the Warriors this week.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be tight the way the Warriors played, and I think they're going to put up a serious fight against them. So don't be surprised for a shot, but I just think Sharks at home.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree. I hope it's a good game, and I think that's one. If you're not up early on Sunday, go back and watch.
Definitely look back and watch.
And don't rob yourself by watching 4 minutes.
On the 4 minute second highlights, yeah. Watch, you can get the 18 ones.
Watch the game, full game if you can, because there'll be some big hits in it. Because the Sharks are hardly a small side.
No.
So, yeah, some big boppers. And look, the final game. Sunday, 9:15 on a Sunday. The clocks must have gone back in Australia. Acor Stadium, Sydney. The Bulldogs welcome the Cowboys. Interesting game. I don't think the Cowboys have been fantastic this season. I think there's glimpses where they're still the same side. Obviously, he had a freak try. Whether he scored or whether he assisted, the jury's still out. Tom Chester's a fullback again. Tommy Dearden and Chad Townsend aren't arguably playing the same ball they were playing last year. A lot of those players aren't playing the same ball they were playing last year. Defensively, they're just not the same side. So I don't know if they're a one-season wonder.
I think the way that Peyton trained them last year, I don't think you can do that in 2 years in a row. The way he flogged them in preseason, like full defense.
Maybe he has, and this is why they're like this. Maybe it's
right. Yeah, another year then, and it's starting to have the wheels come off. Then,
especially on the back of a World Cup, a lot of those players wouldn't have maybe expected to make the World Cup squad at the start of last year's season. But given the forms of the Cowboys, they made them. So there's a lot of miles in those legs this last year. Doggies have shown glimpses. They're not obviously as poorly run as the Tigers, but they're a bit like the Tigers in that they've just had so much new talent come in that over the last two seasons that it's a bit mixy mashy. I haven't been overly gone on Vinny Amkikau. I don't think he's been anywhere near the same player he is at Penrith. That's obviously a lot easier said than done when you're playing outside Cleary as opposed to Kyle Flanagan and Matt Burton. But look, I think Reid Mahoney's going to go from strength to strength. I think Ryan Sutton's actually played well, given he's got a lot more minutes for Canterbury than he typically would have got. The big thing for me about the Bulldogs is just maybe that strength and depth. Like, I get his status as a cult figure, but having Josh Reynolds on the interchange is something to be concerned.
And then is the 17, he's a winger as well, is he?
Jaden Knockenbar, yeah, he was. It was himself and Corey Arriola-Wernara who were involved in that bit of scandal a while back.
But it's strange to have two backs in. I know Josh can go into the full or the number nine role.
Yeah.
But it's a bit strange to have two lads on the feckin' where you would have went three heavy and one utility leg.
Yeah, definitely.
Might come back and bite them in the arse, like.
Yeah. But look, I suppose one of my favourite players this season, as he was last year, Jacob Carraz. I'm backing the Cowboys in a brute of a game. Just like a 12-10 win.
I go Canterbury on this one. Just for being at home as well. But it could be the Cowboys, yeah. Either one. I think they're level on it's $1.90 each. That's the odds, like, so the bookies can't separate them, so you could get a surprise, but not a surprise, like it could go either way. Like, I just think Canterbury, they might come right this week.
Yeah.
Max King was far better last week than he was in the previous 3 weeks, so it's good to see him coming back a bit more into form. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, you probably thought we weren't coming back, but we are. So that's all from me.
Oh, that's me done too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good luck.
I it's all played to Keary. Veers down the left, short pass Mitchell. Beautiful pass to Tupo. Into the backfield. Gives it to the Nesto.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.